grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. At the end of the Pentecost, the appointed season of the church year, we have the custom of looking at our own time and seasons in the light of God's actions and the promises of things to come. Our text, Lamentations chapter 2, verses 14 and 17, mourned, represents the prophet Jeremiah, who mourned over the calamity and the judgment which was cast upon Jerusalem in the year 586 B.C. when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, captured the city. Now, this leads us to reflect, particularly upon the prophet's interpretation of God's judgment. And for this reason, let us think on the topic, the righteousness of God in judgment. Let us hear those two verses again. Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not exposed your iniquity to destroy your fortune, but have seen for you oracles false and misleading. Now the Lord has done what he purposed, has carried out his threat. As he ordained long ago, he has demolished without pity. He has made the enemy rejoice over you and exalted the might of your soul. In those days, Judah had the same problem from which our own nation is suffering today. The problem of false prophets in society, in church against state, and Israel in the north and Judah in the south, their leaders and their people that believed that they could politically compromise and negotiate away the terms by which they had been given life on the basis of the covenant God had made with Israel originally, so that they must secure peace and the same national identity among the powers round about them. Worship had become syncretistic. They had given the pagan culture of the enemy equal standing, equal power with the temple worship ordained by God. And the decline of the people of God always begins when they cease to take seriously the will of God, which is revealed to them. At that point, God's promises are no longer seen as terms of great Christ waiting for their fulfillment, is then impatiently justified by these sophisticated being incredibly naive. So the people of Jerusalem sought political solutions for their problems. But unfortunately for them, their understanding of the political realities of the Near East at that time was darkened by their spiritual cowardice and perverted by their arrogance about the security of their city because the Lord's temple was located there. The leadership of Judah would not hear the word of God spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. They wanted the benefit, as all people do. They want the benefit of God's protection on their own terms. Now let us summarize the situation in Jerusalem for further reflection. The people and their leaders no longer believe the promises of God's covenant. Their prophets did not do their duty to their people. Instead of exposing their iniquity, as Jeremiah spoke of it, the iniquity of their rejection of the covenant, as Jeremiah had done, these prophets slaughtered them shamelessly and invented false and misleading oracles for them to make them feel good, to tell them how great they were. When people no longer believe God's word, it will inevitably be ruined by the lies of God's enemies. In this case, the outcome is the destruction which God had ordained for Jerusalem. You read, the Lord has done what he purposed. He has carried out his threat, as he ordained long ago. He has demolished without pity. He has made the enemy rejoice over you and exalted the might of your soul. God's judgment do not produce joy in the hearts of those who know themselves to be sinners, and we know that. By nature, they're all like the people of Israel at Mount Horeb, and God gave the law. It is the people were afraid and trembled and stood afar off and said to Moses, you speak to us and we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. An agent, a messenger of God, came to give people a comfortable distance from God. A prophet who's intent upon popularity above all other considerations. A prophet who offers his own soothing and comforting interpretations of God's will can make the people to whom he has been sent think that they can really hide from God in some way. After all, the flattering reassurances of false prophets lull people into thinking that they are really not accountable to God for what they're doing, and that is false teaching. Judgment is ordained for all who will not know the will of God and who will not obey him. And here God has no favor. You read that he sent the prophet Samuel to tell King Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. And we are told to obey all things whatsoever our Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us. The truth about God's judgment is a most serious matter for the Christian. Isaiah writes, the Lord will judge his people. And in the letter to the Hebrews we read, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And these words apply to all of us because we are all accountable to God. In our confession for our sins, we accept God's judgment upon ourselves because his judgment is true. But all creation is accountable to God. Nothing is accepted. Whatever has existence from God was initially inspected and found to be good or acceptable. God's kindness or grace toward us, his long forbearance, does not neutralize our accountability. Otherwise, God's grace would be cheap grace. But God's grace does not come cheap. Therefore, existence, because Christ gave his life to redeem us from the domination of Satan, sin, and death, and thus to restore us to God. In the household of God, everyone is accountable to do the Father's will. Just as Christ came to the world and said, lo, I have come to do thy will, O God. God's righteousness is shown in judgment. People of our time, like the people of Jerusalem, the time of Jeremiah, are for the most part unwilling to accept the fact that God is willing and able to punish us for our sins, and that he must do so because he is God. Christians should never make light about the severity of God's judgment in history, as though those were not realities with which we must reckon. Rather, we should focus our attention not only to the severity or upon the severity of God's judgment, but upon the steadfast love of God for us in rescuing us from judgment by the redemption of his Son. The redemption which we have in Jesus Christ, and that is magnified against the background of this threatening judgment on the last day. The prophet Jeremiah wrote his lament while looking at the ruin of fallen Jerusalem, a mild symbol of the coming judgment of the world. And we Christians take seriously the fact of God's righteousness because it is there. It has been announced to us. It has been demonstrated to us in his judgment of the past, as well as in those which are promised to come. It has been demonstrated in the truth of his love and his mercy for us, which he showed in his Son, who died for our sins on the cross, that we who believe may have life in his glorious name. God grant us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds Christ Jesus until that time. Amen.